You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream. This is AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest American Horror Story news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story.
Welcome to AfterBuzz for American Horror Story Season 1, Episode 2, Home Invasion. I am your host, Billy Nellis. I am joined by my lovely co-host, David Scifoletti.
Hello.
Hello. Our other regular co-host.
They're here.
Our other regular co-host, Brett Malick, couldn't be here with us tonight, but he will be back next week, so we'll miss him tonight, but see him soon.
He's in our hearts.
He is. So, welcome back to what we're liking to call our group therapy session. For American Horror Story, because it kind of feels like that's what we need every week after sitting down and watching this show that is proving to be intense, intense, intense.
Like, beyond.
Right.
My heart is still racing.
Yeah. I'm like trying to catch my breath.
I know.
And I still maybe haven't yet. I still maybe haven't.
It's really intense. I'm a little bit, I'm a mess right yeah. now. I'm very flustered.
We all are, I think. All over the place.
I don't know what's going on right now. Okay, yeah. Sorry. There we go.
It was an intense episode this week.
It was very intense.
Yeah. It was. I think that's like going to be our word tonight. So we apologize for the overuse
We're
of
gonna,
the word intense.
I'm going to Google a synonym.
A synonym. All right. So tonight we saw some more story with Ben and his mistress from Boston.
Hayden.
Hayden, we met.
I'm a little actually surprised that they brought her back.
Okay.
Only because I get, like, we saw it in the first episode. We didn't actually see the girl, and we didn't find out her name. I'm just, like, a little shocked that they brought back.
Oh, they brought it into
it into the story and made it, are giving the mistress her own storyline.
Right. Well, I think,
not that I'm complaining, yeah. but I think it's just strange.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I didn't really see it coming back into play so
right?
much.
But I sort kind of forgot about it.
Yeah. I'm kind of happy, though, because it definitely seems like it's setting up some interesting stuff. She seems a little unhinged.
Right. And on top of that, I mean, it does give us a whole other aspect of what's going on in the lives of this family. And if this show didn't have the whole horror aspect of it, that's where it would go anyways. So I guess right. that's what they were thinking.
Right. So we saw them, and we also witnessed Vivian and Violet, who were left at home once Ben went away. Mm-hmm. And we saw this harrowing home invasion, as the title spelled out for us this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty intense stuff.
There Very we go intense.
It was probably like 30 minutes of just kind of edge of your seat terror.
Well, yeah, exactly what you'd expect from a horror movie.
Right. Exactly.
But compacted into 30 minutes, and so much has to happen for it to have that intense feeling in such a short period of time,
right.
it literally takes your breath away.
Yeah. All right, before we really dig deep into it, I want to ask you, since this is a new show and we're on the second episode and we loved the pilot, your opinion, do we think that this episode was better? Do you think it's improved upon the promise of the pilot, or do we think that it still has something?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking you.
Oh.
I want your opinion.
I think from the pilot episode to the second episode, the show has vastly improved.
Yeah.
Because I know that we were talking about last week, how are they going to sustain this whole horror theme for a whole season, let alone a whole series, let alone more than one season. But from first week to second week, so much has improved.
Yeah.
Not to say that the pilot didn't blow me away, because it did, but the second episode has exceeded my expectations
right.
for where they were going to take the show.
I agree with you. I think that definitely what happened is it lived up to the promise. I don't know that it was like a better episode. I just think that it was on par and it didn't disappoint what we wanted and what the pilot teased us with.
Yeah.
It definitely lived up to that. And my fears about sustainability, I think, from this episode are at bay for the time being.
Agreed.
I think that as it continues, it still stands to see, but for the time being, I'm comfortable and I'm into it and I'm psyched.
Comfortable in quotation marks.
Yeah, as comfortable as one can be when watching this show.
Right. Oh my God. And if there's anyone out there listening to us and you have a comment on what you thought about the first episode or the second episode, don't forget to call us here at 424-256-1729.
Yes, please do. All right, well, let's get into it. I want to talk first in depth about this Ben and Hayden thing. Get
okay.
that out of the way before we really talk about all the home invasions that we saw tonight.
Awesome.
So Ben gets a call from a woman. We don't know who. She says, I'm pregnant. And next thing we know, he's telling Viv he has to go see some patient. He's clearly making up. And he's in Boston getting this girl an abortion,
right.
hanging out with her. And are we surprised that it was so easy for him to already go back into lying to Viv after he's clearly trying to fix something?
I mean, I'm not really sure what he's thinking.
Right.
Going back to Boston, like, why not just be like, look, I'm trying to move on from this. I'm really sorry that you're pregnant. I wasn't expecting that. And I'm sorry that you've made the decision to have an abortion, because clearly that is your choice as
right.
pregnant lady. But why put yourself through going back to Boston, lying to your wife? She already knows that you cheated on her.
Right.
Why not just be like, look, my mistress called me. She's pregnant. I'm going to Boston. She's having an abortion. I'll be back.
Right. And I think what's interesting is when we saw Ben with Larry, when he's out for that run and Larry is somehow just magically in that bridge that Ben is having his breakdown in.
Of course.
Larry even says to him that you have to do the honorable thing and be honest, or else the house is winning you, which is what Larry has been warning Ben all along, that the right. house preys upon you. And right after that, what do we see Ben do but do the exact opposite
right.
and lie to her? So I'm a little concerned about what's going on with Ben.
Well, at the same time, he is trying to protect his wife, which is probably not the right thing to do. But how believable is Larry?
Right.
Like, how trustworthy is this creepy man who just happens to be
everywhere?
Like, yeah. Is he following True. Him? Is he? Did he come out of the wall?
Yeah.
Like, where is
what
he
is this
coming
guy about?
From?
Yeah. Yeah. So we see Ben, when we see Ben in Boston, he's with Hayden, and she, you know, he promises that they're on a desert island, he's not going to take calls. And meanwhile, we see Viv frantically trying to call him, which we'll get to in a second. Why? But he's finally puts the phone in Hayden's purse.
Which makes no sense.
I guess to quell her, because it seemed like she was going to have some weird, crazy breakdown.
She seems like a jealous girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, she's promising that she's over it.
Right.
And then excited about pizza, and then the phone rings and is crying.
And then no pizza.
And yeah. but after just what I thought was most telling about this girl, and as we saw in the previews for next week, obviously she's back. What I think is most telling about her maybe instability mentally was she tells Ben that, you know, she's over it. She just needs him for this weekend. She never wanted anything. How embarrassing was it? How cliche to sleep with her teacher. And then after the phone rings, she's hugging him. All I ever wanted was for you to love me.
Right.
So clearly
she's got some issues.
There's something
wrong. She's completely unstable.
Right.
He should have never been sleeping with a student, let alone a psychopath.
Right. Never going back to Boston to feed into it even longer to sit with her through
what
her abortion.
Are you thinking?
This is totally a bad idea.
Like, red flags.
Yeah. So
red flags. And then you put your phone in her purse. You don't just like turn it off and stick it in your pocket. You leave your phone on and stick it in her purse.
Yeah.
What are you thinking? Like, I just wanted to smack him.
Yeah.
Stupid, stupid man.
No thought. No thought there.
No. And you'd think for a psychiatrist,
he would be aware of what was happening,
right,
and realize what she's doing, and not falling for it,
and
so
not
much.
Play into it,
right,
and not like feed her whatever's her insecurities and right. her
delusions or whatever is going on in this situation.
Drives me crazy.
Yeah. So, but this whole situation really removed Ben, took Ben out of Los Angeles, took Ben away from Viv and Violet, and opened up the opportunity for what the remainder of the episode was,
right,
and what was so scary this week. So we got
frightening,
right?
So frightening.
We did see the foreshadowing in this week's prologue, which I'm hoping is going to be a constant, where the show opener is something about the house's history,
right?
Because we've seen that both times now, and I'm hoping that's a constant because I like that it's not just in present day, and we are seeing the history, this clearly storied, violent history of this house.
Right. I mean, clearly when the real estate agent showed them this house, there is such a vast, rich history of brutal murders right. in this house.
That wasn't contained to just that one murder-suicide that
right.
she had to disclose.
Exactly. And it's fantastic as a viewer to see everything that's happened so far in the house up to present day. And I'm just basically agreeing with you.
Yeah.
I love it.
That was good. So we see, do we think there was a sorority house? Is that where our consensus lies?
No, because there was a nurse there and they were slightly weirdly religious.
Yeah.
Or I don't know
and
if it
the
was
other
particularly
girls weren't.
Just that one girl. I mean, it would make sense if it was a sorority.
Yeah.
That's there's what a lot I immediately of,
there's a
assumed.
Lot of there's at least five girls there because we see three who leave to go to see the doors at the yeah. Hollywood Bowl and two who are staying. So that's
but
a lot of
a
roommates.
Nurse.
Yeah. So anyway, we see these girls and we see this brutal home invasion murder. This man shows up, claims that he's been hurt and he needs some help. And these girls are one's a nurse and one's clearly a pious Christian. So they, of course, let him in. And the girl who's the pious Christian, we notice she's studying for anatomy, so she clearly wants to be a doctor or something.
Perhaps they're in nursing school.
Maybe.
Which would make sense.
All right. So they want to help him. They realize, though, that this blood on his forehead, she can't find a cause for this blood. And that's when things change, and the man sort of loses it and attacks them both, and then brutally murders them.
To say the least.
To say the least. To sum it up in
to
a neat little bow.
To sum it up in a small little package.
Right.
He basically, we find out later, Gladys was the bigger girl. He drowned her upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And Maria, he stabbed to death.
Right. After dressing her
in
the
nurse
costume that Gladys
uniform.
Was wearing.
Yeah, that's so, why I'm thinking that they might be in nursing school. Only because, where did he get that from?
Right. Let's see. I thought he just took it off of Gladys and put it on and wanted the other girl to put it on.
That's what I thought in the opener as well.
But then
it fit
drowned,
her so perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting.
Very
so we saw that in the prologue. And later on in the episode, we see once Ben has left, Viv and Violet are in for a night alone and the doorbell rings. And Viv goes to open the door and there's a girl at the door who has a blood on her forehead. And wants to be let in.
Claiming and the same thing that the man from the opener was claiming.
Instantly, we as an audience freak because we're not sure what's going on. We're not sure if this is some sort of something that the house is doing.
Right,
over
but we
again.
Know that we've seen it before.
But we know that we
and
know
where
that
it ended up
we
last
know
time.
What this portends. We know this is danger, danger.
Exactly.
Right. And
we
clearly
become
some bell goes off in Viv's head because she doesn't open the door. She's 2011 women are a little wiser.
Well, I mean, if someone safer. Knocked on your door and was like, I'm bleeding from the head, can you open the door and let me in? Would you let them in?
No.
Neither would
probably
I.
Wouldn't. I'd feel bad, but I wouldn't do it.
I don't know. I definitely would not. I'd call the police,
right.
but I wouldn't let them in.
Right. So that's what Viv wants to do. And the girl starts freaking out, starts pounding on the door, starts ringing the doorbell incessantly. And then all of a sudden it stops. And we see shadows behind Viv. We know that something isn't right, that there's more to this than just this girl that's hurt.
Right.
We know that,
and Viv can't find her phone.
Right. Magically gone from its dock where it was charging. So,
oh God.
Just talking about it again gets me a little, like I'm nervous again.
I know, I'm like
talking about it. I'm reliving it and I am nervous again. So the girl comes back to the door as Viv looks through the peephole, and she has this creepy mask on. At the same time, someone shows up behind her and knocks her out and is also wearing a mask. And we cut to commercial
black,
break.
Like, black mask.
Really creepy, black, like, weird, some sort of Middle Ages mask or something. I'm not really sure what it was supposed to be.
Neither do I, but it was freaky.
Yeah, they were weird.
It's like the Eyes Wide Shut mask.
But black.
But black.
Not for a party.
Not for a party.
No. So then we cut to commercial, and we're like, what is going on? We're left wondering. And they come back, and Viv and Violet are tied up, and we see that it's three people now in the masks. And they
one of them who is Azura Sky.
Was that who that was?
Yes.
Oh, good catch.
Right?
I knew that girl, but I didn't know where anywhere from. Good catch.
Thank you.
So they explain just exactly what they're doing here. And they're, I guess, I mean, what do we call these people? They're murder freaks? They're like murder
fetishists?
Well,
they did explain it on later in the episode, the detectives. They are like a group or a club who is obsessed with L.A. murders.
Right.
And they want to recreate their more favorite ones.
So they've clearly gone over the deep end in their obsession over serial killers.
Well, yeah, to say the least.
So these people are obsessed with the murder that we saw in our prologue.
Yeah.
And they want to recreate it using Viv and Violet. And they only know about the house and know how to get into the house because we see that the third girl to remove her mask was the girl that we saw earlier in the episode, Bianca, who was a patient, a quote-unquote patient of Ben's. Clearly, she was just there to stake out the house and figure out ways to get in and out.
Quickly.
So, yeah.
And discreetly.
Right. So they want to reenact. Oh, and here, this scene was so gross, this elevator thing.
Well, in her therapy session, I guess it's therapy. I mean, I don't know what you'd call meeting with a psychiatrist.
I guess, yeah, therapy.
I mean, I guess it's therapy. She talks about a dream where she's caught in an elevator and Karen Carpenter is playing in the background and it won't stop. And she's trying to crawl out of the elevator. And then the elevator, she sort of gets stuck and the elevator chops off her legs. Which just goes to show you. I mean, she says that she's had the dream about 10 times, that she's completely nuts.
Right. I was wondering that once we figured out that she wasn't even a patient, do we even think that dream is real or think she's just like a nut job who just made up some like fantasy?
That didn't even cross my mind.
That she made it up?
That she made it up.
Because
I honestly think that's how she thinks.
I think it's how she thinks, but I don't think she's afraid of it. I think she just made it up.
Interesting.
Because she needed something to say to get into
right.
his office.
That's true.
And to get in there, so she had to come up with something, and she's obviously a psychopath.
Wow.
And that was, I mean, if that's what came to mind, we're not like, oh, I'm having trouble sleeping because I'm really stressed. And it was like, I'm dreaming about getting chopped in half in an elevator.
That's true. Okay. She made it up.
So homegirl was nuts.
Bianca.
Bianca.
That's my doggie's name.
Oh. Out of her mind. But it kind of seemed like the house, as it were, came to the rescue tonight.
To say the least.
If we're assuming that what we kind of talked about last week, then maybe Constance, Moira, Tate are actual agents of the house.
Right.
They did sort of come to the aid of the Harmon family tonight.
Well, if you think about it like that, that they came to the aid of the Harmon family, it doesn't really... I mean, it sounds like the house was doing them a favor. But I think the house, if it is, in fact, trying to harm the Harmon family, is trying to keep it for themselves.
Right.
They don't want anyone else interfering with its plans for the Harmon family, I think. So they will get rid of someone that's trying to harm them.
They're
so
like
that they can...
finders keepers.
Yes.
Get away from my toys.
Exactly.
Find your own. So we do see that, as we mentioned, that these agents of the house, as they are, did come to the aid. Tate is magically in the house.
As
Tate
usual.
Somehow is always magically in the house.
So is Adelaide.
And and tells Violet that at all costs to get these people into the basement, and he'll take care of it. So Tate clearly has a connection to this basement.
Right.
I think above anybody else. He's able to conjure the bathtub. It seemed like he was able to create what is needed in the basement to scare off whoever needs the scaring off. Because I think Tate in episode one was what was necessary for that creepy baby thing to attack the Coke girl.
Right.
So it seems like Tate has this connection with whatever power or whatever we're to presume is in the basement.
Right.
I'm thinking Tate holds that connection above anybody else.
I think Tate, in general, has the strongest connection to the house.
Well, I'm going to jump in.
Oh, yeah. My God, you scared the out of me, Jesse. Oh, my God.
This is the voice. No, from the basement.
Literally, I almost shit my pants. All right. Oh, my God. Okay, go.
The little girl.
Never did.
Adeline. I don't know what I was going to call Adeline. She also, if you remember, at the beginning of the episode, was playing with something in the basement,
right,
in the darkness.
She rolled the ball.
A little red ball.
And then when they went upstairs, the ball rolled back. So, and also within the first episode, she could talk to those two twins.
Right. Oh, that's right.
That's right.
But I think Tate has a stronger connection to the house because he, right, we never see him anywhere else but the house. Adelaide and Constance, we saw tonight, have their own actual home.
Yes. Or we'll get into that in a second because I do have some questions about that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good.
But we do see, I think, I do, to piggyback on that, I think that Tate has a connection to the basement, whereas I think that Adelaide is just aware of what's in the basement.
Ah.
I think that Adelaide knows that something is there and likes that it's there and wants to play with it, but I don't think that there, she can harness the basement's power, but I think that Tate can. Because Tate could use the basement to do something, as we've seen in both episodes.
Right, that's true.
So I'm going to go with that.
Okay, and at the end of the towards the end of the episode, Constance asked Tate, is this your handiwork?
Right.
And Moira said, no, it's theirs.
Right. Interesting.
Very interesting.
Loaded conversation at the end.
Very.
Very loaded. But so we also, in a roundabout way, Constance sort of helped when we see these cupcakes. Constance early in the episode is making her cupcakes and she puts the ipecac in the cupcakes,
right,
which she says, she explains to Adelaide and also to the viewers who have no idea what ipecac does, will cause violent stomach pains and internal bleeding and really, really violent illness.
Yikes.
And then she also has Adelaide spit in the cupcakes. So then she brings them to the house, and I thought she was bringing them to the house for Vivian to eat them, because we did see Vivian talk about how she hasn't had any morning sickness yet. And my mind immediately went that it was going to make Vivian sick and mask the fact that there's something wrong with the baby. That was the first thing that I had, that if Vivian were to eat them, she would forget that maybe there's something wrong. That was where I went first. But then Constance is always one step ahead of us.
Right.
And explains that they're for Violet. They're meant for Violet, which I thought was interesting.
I don't understand why she's trying to
Poison Violet.
Poison Violet.
Right. But we come to find out that they don't go to their intended recipient. No one wants to eat Constance's
cupcakes. No one eats
cupcakes.
Constance's cupcakes, apparently, even though Vivian cuts one in half and is like, let's share one.
And really wants to. And then where did that cupcake go?
She was holding it the whole conversation, and she never ate it, and then I guess she just tossed it.
Yeah. Weird. But so Vivian eventually does bring the cupcake to Violet. Violet puts it outside her door, which is pretty much a saving grace when we get into the actual home invasion,
right,
because Bianca, in the midst of wanting to commit double homicide, gets hungry. And she's I'm gonna eat this four cupcakes.
As you would.
Right. It takes a lot out of a girl.
It takes a lot out of anybody to like invade someone's home and then commit a double murder. A sensible cupcake snack never hurt anybody.
Right. And lo and behold, there's one on the floor. So
why not?
Why not eat it? I mean, clearly she is not concerned about anything. She's a murderer. So
right.
She's already nuts.
And so she says, I think, the best line of the show. What? It was just staring there saying, eat me.
Yeah. So she eats the cupcake and almost instantly it makes her ill. Like, I wonder, I was.
She poured a whole bottle of ipecac in that cupcake batter.
So I guess instantly she's. What did she say? She needed to take a crap, like almost immediately.
She's like, oh, I don't feel so good.
And then it starts making her real, real sick.
She's throwing up all over the place.
Right. And so then, while she's throwing up, Violet is able to coerce the other girl into taking her down to the basement, telling her that this isn't the actual bathtub where the murder happened, and if you want this to be accurate, you need to take me down there, because this is a new bathtub, and your whole thing will be thrown off. And the girl, because she's so insane, wants to be true to this
original murder.
Original murder. follows her down there, and Tate's down there with the bathtub, and out of the bathtub comes the ghosts of both of the murdered girls.
Well, just Gladys the first time.
But Gladys flashes into Maria. I noticed that when Gladys popped up, it was Gladys. It cut to the murderer, and when it flashed back, it was Maria. It was the skinnier girl. It was both of them in the bathtub. And dispatches of other murder girl. We come to find out later when we see her throat slit.
Yeah.
But Bianca, puking everywhere, stumbles back into the bathroom needing help. She wants to call it off. She wants to go to the hospital. Something's wrong. They need to call off this plan, even though they've already showed their faces. Clearly not a good idea.
I mean, let's leave our intended murdered people, whatever you want to call them.
Victims,
our murder victims, alive. And let's go to the hospital and come back tomorrow.
Right. And murder them then.
We'll make a date of it.
Right.
Okay. How does that sound, you guys?
So she comes in the bathroom and we see something walk towards the back of the bathroom. Looks like Tate. And then as she walks towards it, we then see Tate at the door of the bathroom.
Right.
And this sort of sent off a thing. How is Tate in both places?
That's what I'm so confused about, Tate, because everyone can see him. He's clearly not a ghost because people can touch him.
Yeah.
But he moves so quickly, and he was in the bathroom, and then he was out of the bathroom.
And then he was chopping her in half.
With an axe.
Right, with an axe. So he gets rid of Bianca, but I think that this was a clue to a larger thing about Tate's existence.
Right.
But what I'm confused on, and we saw earlier in the episode when Ben was calling Tate's mother, saying he couldn't see Tate any longer, that he needed to refer him to another doctor because of these, what Tate was discussing about wanting to have sex with Violet.
He's right.
Uncomfortable and he thinks it's a bad environment. So on the one hand, Tate is anywhere in the house when he needs to be and wants to be, can control the basement, it seems like, yet he has a mother somewhere. Who was Ben talking to on the phone? Ben was having a conversation.
He was having a conversation with somebody.
He said that he needed to call her back. Someone was clearly on the other line. He wasn't just leaving a message.
Right.
So now we're wondering, who was Ben talking to? Who is Ben on the phone with?
It could be anybody, though.
Right. I guess we'll talk about that in predictions.
Yeah.
But so that, clearly a big clue and something that we're obviously
meant to be thinking. And a huge question mark. About.
Right. Right. Who is this woman?
And so, is Tate
a lot? What is Tate?
Like a living
what
being?
Is Tate?
Yeah,
what is Tate?
What is Tate?
Right.
What are you, Tate?
What is Tate? So, Vivian and Violet get out of the house. Vivian gets away from the other guy. She hits him on the head. She knocks him out in an intense struggle.
He ends up in the basement.
And also
ends up dead.
Ends up dead. And Vivian and Violet get out running down the street screaming, help us, call 911. They run past Constance Boudoir, where she's had some fun with
a very young, good-looking gentleman.
Handsome man, perhaps.
Gentleman caller.
A hired gentleman caller. I'm intrigued to see who exactly this man is, if Constance is having fun with gigolos or not. Exactly. That was one of my, I was like, she's...
Oh my God, gigolo. I haven't heard that word in so long.
So we're meant to believe maybe Constance calls the police, but then we cut to the scene that we were shown in last week's upcoming scenes,
right,
of Tate, Constance, and Moira all together in the basement, hovering over the two killers whose names I don't think we knew.
No.
Not Bianca, but the other two. And this, what you alluded to when Moira says that it wasn't Tate's handiwork, it was the other two. And Tate says, we have to get rid of the bodies so that they'll keep seeing me.
Right.
Not he, but they'll keep seeing me. So it wasn't that. So Ben can keep.
Oh, I did not catch that.
Seeing me, but they'll keep seeing me. And Moira says, "What?"
She says, "I'll get a shovel. You get the bleach."
Right. So they're gonna bury them, disintegrate them, do whatever these three do to keep the other invaders out of the house, so that their plan, whatever they have going on, doesn't get sidetracked.
Oh, this is so twisted.
Right, right. So the next day, Vivian and Ben are with the police. The police are saying that Bianca was found down the block, cut in half.
Right. I have no idea how that girl got out of the house and down the block when someone put an axe to her stomach more than once.
Well, do we think that she did get down the block by herself, or do we think they disposed of her somewhere else? Because she was the only one whose name they knew and would have recognized.
Right.
And they had to place her somewhere else. They couldn't just get rid of her. I have a feeling she didn't get out of there. I think that the three of them got
Tate, Moira, and Constance. That's possible. Put her down the street. But we never really saw what happened, so it's possible that she did.
That she just got out of there herself.
Yeah.
Right. I'm hesitant. She got hit twice in the stomach with an axe.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Right. So I think that they might have done it themselves. But like we said, we didn't see that. So I'm just guessing. But then the cops explain that they haven't found her accomplices. They presume her accomplices are the ones who did this to her. The cops are thinking she got cold feet and didn't want to go through with it.
Although, had the cops examined the house, like gone through the house, they would have seen blood all over the house.
Well, the bleach was to clean the blood in the house.
Oh, right.
So they cleaned the house up.
Yeah, but because Viv saw it.
Right.
Viv ran upstairs looking for Violet.
But Viv was also in such a panic haze, you don't see everything.
That's true.
She could have seen stuff. So yeah. We don't know about that. But anyway, so they did clean that up and got rid of that. So it was all cleaned up, and we see Ben and Vivian, and Ben, well, first Violet comes home, and she, earlier in the episode, we'd seen Violet tell Vivian that she's weak, and that was a really big thing. It was a pointed moment. She tells her that she's weak, and at the end of the episode, she has sort of seen a side of her mom that she didn't expect. Her mom really fought back, and she tells her how brave she was, and she's clearly pissed at her dad for not being there. And so there's a sort of a reversal there, I think, on how she saw her mom.
And she says, "You were very brave, Mom."
She gives her that credit.
Yeah.
And then Ben is clearly racked with guilt that not only did he lie about where he was, but this happened while he was gone. And
he missed 13 phone calls.
Right, because his phone was in Crazy Lady's purse. And he apologizes and says, "I'm home, but I'm home now." And Vivian says, "No, you're not. We're selling this house." And the show ends. So Viv wants out of here.
I would too.
Yeah, I mean, why would you stay?
Why on earth?
What would possess
after
you?
After week one. After day one, I'd be like, we're out, we're leaving.
This is it, I'm done.
I'm done, call the bank.
Right, call that lady, call the realtor, get her back here, tell her sorry.
Call the realtor.
Just run.
Set the place on fire and run. And collect the insurance money and move on with your life.
Right. All right, well, I think now is as good time as any to take a commercial break.
I think so.
We will be right back.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
This television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Ducky is a villain.
424-256-1729.
424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig!
The wig will come off.
When the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on.
Welcome back to AfterBuzz American Horror Story Season 1, Episode 2.
Oh my god, what is this?
Oh, so creepy. Jesse, you can't do this to me. I'm too on edge. No noises.
I know, I forgot you were there. Honestly, earlier forgot you were there.
Ugh.
I can't even stand it.
Too much. All right, well, like we mentioned last week, for the month of October, we are going to help you continue your American Horror Story night. You've watched the show on Wednesdays. But you're not done. You haven't gotten your total fix. So we're going to bring you each week a little recommendation for a movie that sort of ties into what we saw this week in the episode of American Horror Story. So this week, the episode Home Invasion really spoke to both of us, referenced a movie that we're both fans of, 2008's The Strangers, starring Liv Tyler, Scott Speedman. The movie was written and directed by a man by the name of Brian Bertino. Was his first film. Excellent movie. Scary as hell. It's about a couple who clearly there's some estrangement between them. Things aren't going great in their relationship. And they go out to a house in the woods. And as all things do, when you go out to a house in the woods in the dark, things go nuts.
Things go bump in the night.
And someone comes knocking on the door and wants in. And
much like this episode,
it was very reminiscent of The Strangers this week. And then this couple is really, for a duration of a film, tormented by three psychopaths for absolutely no reason.
Yeah,
there's no rhyme or reason. At least this week, we were given a reason for what they were doing
in the American Horror Story.
They do have a reason, no matter
how twisted it is.
Right. But what's more unsettling about The Strangers, and I think what scared me the most, is there's absolutely no reason. These are just three people who are out of their mind.
Oh, my God.
And just want to kill people. And
this is why I don't go to the woods.
Right. Don't go to the woods. Don't go if no one knows where you're going to the woods. Don't buy houses.
Don't go anywhere where your cell phone doesn't work.
Where there are no people around you for 10 miles.
Yeah.
It just never do it. Like, live in a city and survive.
And survive. That's right.
Right.
Well,
I mean,
you could.
Unless you live in this mansion in Los Angeles.
Right.
But
it is a fantastic movie. Get ready to be.
Watch it with someone.
Frightened for your life.
Definitely watch it with somebody. I watched it with my friend, and I remember from 15 minutes on, I felt like I couldn't breathe. I felt like I was having a heart attack, and I dug my hand into her thigh. And held it there
for about
an hour and 15 minutes. And I swear to God, I had to peel it out because that movie was so intense.
I think I saw this movie by myself in the theaters, like during the day, though.
It's an excellent film.
What made it so scary for you guys?
I think it's the fact that it literally was people that they didn't know for no reason doing to them what they were doing.
Right.
And the music. There was a song in that movie.
It's a Joanna Newsom song.
That just played throughout the
randomly
whole
played
movie.
On their. Joanna Newsom is a really great but creepy folk artist. If you don't know who she is, she's good. Look her up. But they play her music. The song plays on the record player.
Like,
randomly
non-stop.
Starts playing. And it's very unsettling and really creepy. But I think for me, I mean, that was so unsettling and scary. But for me, the movie itself was structured so well. And it's not your typical, like, torture porn, sort of, like, just blood, guts, and gore. People
torture
are just chopped
porn.
Up. Like, you know, like Saw or Hostel.
Yeah.
The entire time. This is exactly the song. Joanna Newsom. I don't know if this is the one that's played, but this is Joanna Newsom.
I don't know if this is it either.
This is Peach Pear Plum, and the song is really good.
Oh, this is Sprout the Bean.
Oh, it is. You're right. She's good, but she's bizarre.
Wicked creepy.
But I think what was scariest for me about The Strangers was just it's all suspense.
Yeah.
From 15 minutes on, it does not let up. Most horror movies, they cut away. It's over a duration of time, not just one night, where you get a moment to breathe and you get a moment to catch your breath that it lets up, but this film didn't. It never let up.
Also, in most horror films, you do eventually find out who the killer is.
Who the killers are,
and in
what
this
their motivation
one,
is.
You don't.
You don't get any resolution.
The characters in the movie do, because they eventually take off their masks in that movie, but we never get to see their faces.
Right.
And
we see their faces at the very end.
No, you don't.
I think you do, actually, when they drive away in the truck.
And they drive away in the truck and they talk to the little kid.
As we've just spoiled Strangers for you.
I mean, if you haven't seen it by now.
No, I don't think we spoiled anything.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think you do see their faces at the end.
But they get away with it.
I think they do get away with it. And the most haunting thing is when Liv Tyler says, why are you doing this to us? And the girl looks at her and says, because you were home.
Yeah.
That's it. So, really great movie. Check it out. But now we're going to cut to news and gossip with Jesse in the booth.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so Entertainment Weekly had an interview with Ryan Murphy this week, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
All right. And the first question was, this episode reminds me a little of The Strangers, but you mentioned it's not a homage to that. Ryan Murphy replied, I get that people would see that, but that's not at all what we were going for. The masks, I believe, were modeled after Mayan death masks that we found.
Wow.
Also, of course, that movie, the entire thing, they're always in masks.
Mm-hmm.
On the show, they take them off literally within 30 seconds, and then the story is about the really creepy, strange, but true murder reenactment.
Right.
Next question. I thought this episode was scarier than the pilot. Do you agree? Ryan Murphy claimed that he does. Pilots are interesting because you have to cover a lot of ground and introduce a lot of things. I think that it's scarier because I think someone in... He says I think a lot. I think someone invading your home is a terrifying idea. It's very primal. I think it's scary because I think there's 18 seconds in particular in the opening when you think the murderer has left.
Right.
And this is actually the reason why I wanted to say about The Strangers, what scared me the most, because when I saw, I didn't see it in theaters, I literally saw it in my basement by myself
in the dark. Oh my God.
And the scariest thing is,
you never know if they were gone.
This could happen to me.
Right.
I literally, and like, there's windows all surrounding me, and I was just like, what if? Because I'm home.
Right, exactly. Terrifying.
And actually, I'm gonna read this one too, because this is kind of a little... I guess we're going to get into our...
Spoiler alert!
Oh, no.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Warning, a spoiler has been found on AfterBuzz TV property. Please remain calm.
Spoiler alert!
Awesome.
Spoiler alert!
It's just going to go on forever.
It's so long.
So long. That's because he pushed it like four times.
No, that's the one.
No, it's that long.
Don't lie to me.
I'm actually going to read two spoilers for you guys.
Because
this one, I was going through all the questions, and this one really interests me. Why is Constance trying to poison Violet?
Oh, yes.
Well, Violet is sort of causing problems for Constance's grand master plan, which is revealed, I believe, in episode 5. It has something to do with Tate, American's feel-good Romeo and Juliet couple.
I don't know if I get that
like,
title.
I'm still like a little on the fence about if Constance is Tate's mother.
Right, because we learned tonight she had 4 kids. One of them wasn't handicapped.
Right.
But something else happened.
But something else happened.
She lost him
to
other forces, she said.
Right.
And then as far as her poisoning her, I also wondered if, because there was so much talk tonight about, oh, well, you know, how did you deal with Adeline?
Adelaide.
You know, so I wonder if there was some sort of jealousy. And she, like, felt jealous of the pretty daughter. I don't know. I just...
That they have a normal kid.
Yeah, you know, something along that line.
I can see that.
Also, we will be meeting all of her children by episode 8.
Ooh.
And we haven't even met the scariest of them yet.
See, that's who I think...
Is the normal kid.
Is the normal kid. Is probably the most frightening of them all.
Right.
The normal kid?
The normal kid, yeah.
The one who she had who wasn't
because she said he was a picture of perfection.
Yeah, I think he's going to be terrifying.
Yeah.
If he isn't Tate.
If he's not Tate, yeah.
Hmm. All right. And we all want to know if we'll be getting flashbacks for Constance and Moira. Yes, we begin episode 3 with a big, big, meaty scene where you see why Moira has that ghostly eye. It's supposed to be set in 1983. When Jessica Lane read that scene, she was kind of worried we were going to find a younger actress who looked like her in 1983. I said, no, 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 you're going to do it, because you want to see Jessica Lane do that scene. But then we hired these people that did amazing work, like on The Curious Case of Benjamin Button with CGI. Everyone's thrilled with how that turned out.
I'm excited.
Interesting. They spent a crap ton of money making Jessica Lange look 40 years younger. Not 40. You
like
get
20.
It. Like 20.
25.
I'm like 40 years old.
She looks good.
No, she looks amazing.
No, like for that scene, because if it's 1983, she's got to look at least 25 years old.
Her skin got to be pulled back tight.
Yeah.
And then as far as her little lover boy up here.
Is there something in there?
There is a little something. That he's her handyman, and he will be coming back. And kind of playing her boyfriend role.
Oh.
Yum.
And also,
interesting.
Constance isn't above paying for younger boys.
I didn't even read that when I printed it.
And that's your AfterBuzz TV news and gossip for the week of October 13th, 2011.
Let's get into some... David.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
David. Predictions. This is my favorite thing. It's the only reason why I come here.
All right, well, something that I thought of when we were speaking about the Ben and Hayden storyline.
Mm-hmm.
The top of my mind, we're concerned about her mental stability. Do we wonder if she was even actually really pregnant, one, or if she even actually really went through with the abortion, two?
Oh.
Because I could see either one of those things. Either she faked the entire thing to get Ben back into her life, or the reason why I'm not so sure about that is because they actually were at the abortion clinic.
Right.
But if she went in there and just didn't do it.
Right, because he left. It's very possible.
Leave.
And we do see her next week in the preview saying, we have to tell Vivian.
Right.
She deserves to know.
Right. So I have a feeling that we haven't seen an end to...
And she called it our baby.
Yes. Yes. So I have a feeling that there was a ploy. This was a ploy. And I don't think the baby's gone.
If there was a baby.
To begin with.
Very clever.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So I thought about that. Now, my other question, are we bummed we didn't see Rubber Man this week? We didn't see anything
about
Rubber Man.
No, I'm very happy Rubber Man was not involved. I hope we don't see him for a while at least, because there was enough happening in this episode to have to worry about this creepy man in a leather costume.
Right. All right. Well, the big question that we talked about earlier, and we didn't really get into what we thought about it. What do we think Tate is? I'm curious to know what you think. Do you think he's something that's in the house? That's just, he's connected to the house. He's maybe not actually living, even though he is a being, but he doesn't exist outside of the house. Where do you think this is going?
I honestly think he doesn't exist outside of the house.
Okay.
And that's why he just sort of randomly appears. I don't know what he is, though, is my thing. Like, he's definitely not alive.
Right.
It's
impossible in my mind for him to be human for everything we've seen him be.
Right. There's no way that he's a human being.
Yeah. I'm very interested to see what he is.
Me too.
What the hell.
I don't think we're going to be finding that out next week.
I think that's going to be like a central maybe mystery for all
of
the
season. I think so.
Is to find out just who Tate is.
what he is,
even.
Where he comes from, what his storyline is. Well, it looks like we're getting next week Moira and Constance's stories.
Right. Exciting.
Very exciting.
I want a meaty, like, Clash of the Titans with Constance and Moira.
It's going to be amazing. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. All right. Well, on that note, I think that's all for tonight.
I think so.
So, watch next week. Oh. All right, we'll check back in with us next week. We will be back, and hopefully Brett will be back with us, and we will break it all down for you next week, have some more group therapy. Thanks for watching.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.